All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and go back to Ephesians 6 as we continue on with our study of the Christian armor. And while you're turning there, Dr. Hamlin and I were going at it this morning, and I told him that if he splits the church, I was going to shoot him. And so we were laughing and carrying on, and I said, and one thing led to another, and then I said, well, when you get here, look at the bulletin, you're going to notice that there are some songs that are in our songbook we're not singing because you're coming. Well, like what? And I said, well, the Comforter has come. won't be singing that one. And then softly and tenderly. Shut up, Belcher. Oh, my goodness. We were laughing. He's crazy. He is crazy. And he is excited about coming and being here. So, anyway. All right, Ephesians 6. Let's read a couple of things here, and then we'll proceed. All right, you remember verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then verse 12, the one that we spent a little bit of time on, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So in other words, our battle is not with one another. Our battle is not with a person, with a human being. Our battle is with the devil and his emissaries. And so God has his structure and his hierarchy of how he does things, and the devil comes along and imitates that with his own structure that is similar to what to how God operates. And so with the point I made was that for everything that God has, the devil offers a counter to it. All right, he offers a counter program, and that's just how he operates. All right, so we're in this spiritual battle, and the point that I have emphasized over and over is that you cannot fight a spiritual battle without spiritual weapons. All right, so we must have spiritual weapons, and so one of the things that I highlighted last week with you was the fact that that this struggle, this conflict, this war that we have is something that is nonstop. It's constant. It never lets up, and it is this great spiritual battle. The devil is strong. And so we need the Lord's help. And I emphasized to you last week how important it is for us not to just say, "Well, I'm strong in the Lord. I'm strong in the power of His might." Well, that's all well and good, but strength alone is not sufficient. As wonderful as strength is, we still need the protection which is given to us by the armor that the Lord has provided. And make no mistake about it, it is the armor, verse 11, look at it, it is the armor of God, all right? It's God-given, and it is given so that we will wear it, so that we can fight against the wiles of the devil. All right, so let's go back for just a second to to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Flip back there real quickly. I went through this really quick with you last Wednesday night, and I missed a couple of things I wanted to say. But this is where the Apostle Paul was talking about some of the things that the Lord showed him and some of the things that the Lord gave him that could have given him an excuse to be a little puffed up, a little proud. He certainly had spiritual encounters and spiritual victories that are not commonplace. All right, so he says in verse 1, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." One of our Carroll Christian School students, I think they're in the sixth grade this year, and they come up just about every day after school and beg candy for me, she popped her head in. The two of them came, and this one little girl popped her head in, and she said, "What's new?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to Alaska on Saturday." And she said, "On a cruise?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "That's my favorite cruise." And she said it in such a way it kind of startled me. And I said, "Well, good grief, how many cruises have you been on?" And she said, "Well, I don't want to really say because it might appear like I'm bragging." Real, isn't that cute? "It might appear like I'm bragging." And I said, "Oh, no, no, no." I said, I know you. You're not bragging." And I asked you, "How many cruises have you been on?" She went, "Oh, I don't know, 19 maybe." And she's like 12 years old. And she's been on like 19 cruises. She goes, "Oh, my family, we go on cruises all the time. 2 or 3 times a year," she said. "And Alaska is my favorite." She was just emphatic about that. And she was kind of telling me all the things that she hopes that we get to see. But anyway, Paul said, "It is not expedient for me to glory." He said, "But I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." And then he starts to tell a story about a fellow, and this fellow was himself, all right? This fellow was himself. He said in verse 2, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven." Now, the first heaven is this heaven, this air that we breathe, all right? It is our earth's atmosphere. The second heaven is space. And then the third heaven is where God dwells. It is the heaven of the Bible. And so Paul says that he was caught up into the third heaven. And he said, "I knew such a man," again, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, "how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." And so basically right there, what Paul's saying is, I'm just like you, all right? So don't look at me like I've arrived. That's That is not the case at all. He said, you see me, you just see me as one of you. I'm nothing special. And then in verse 7, he said, and lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, why would he be exalted above measure? Well, because he got to experience something that none of us have ever experienced. He got to go to heaven. You say, well, how did he get there? Well, probably in Acts 14 when he was stoned outside of Derbe and Lystra. And they left him for dead. All right, you remember that? They left him for dead. In other words, when they stoned him, they killed him. And so his soul went up to heaven. And so then God sent him back. I remember hearing Lester Roloff preach on this chapter one night. And he said that, Paul got up there and met everybody and was so disappointed because he learned he was not going to be able to write the book of the Revelation, and that John was going to get that privilege. And then he looked around and he couldn't find one unsaved person anywhere. And so he said, Lord, if it's all right with you, I'll just go on back down to the earth if you don't mind. And so the Lord sent him back. All right. And you should have heard Lester Roloff telling that. It was unforgettable. But how many of you know who Lester Roloff was? All right. You know him. You knew him. Okay, good. He was something else. Oh, my goodness. He was something else. We went to a pastor's fellowship meeting. I was 21 years of age, he sat down right across at the lunch table from me, and they had baked steak and salad and corn and casseroles and bread and the whole nine yards, and he wanted a cup of hot water. And Curtis Hudson looked over at him and said, are you trying to show off or what? Are you trying to show off? And he said, no. He said, I'm just not hungry. And he drank hot water. Total waste of hot water. Yeah, he should have had a tea bag or a coffee in it, that's for sure. All right, but anyway, Paul said, lest I get the big head, all right, except I get exalted of my own self. He said that because of all the abundance of the revelations that he was given, he said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now watch this. In verse 7, he said, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. So we're talking, Ephesians 6, we're talking about one of the powers or one of the spiritual wickedness in high places. We're talking about one of the devil's emissaries who was sent to Paul in order to humble him, to keep him, to keep his feet planted firmly on the ground. And a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And Paul said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So there is Paul. He is taking, verse 10, pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches and in necessities. In other words, having needs. Okay, that's what that means. Having needs in persecutions, in distress, distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And so here's Paul I mean, just think about it, folks, going up into the third heaven, going up into heaven, into the presence of the Lord himself. And when he got there to heaven, to God's dwelling place, and looked around and saw where he was, you know, that's what, and from that we can ascertain that this is what happens when we physically die, to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. So we leave here, we go right straight to be with the Lord in heaven. And so Paul had to go through this, and I think that it would be quite a huge thing to go up to heaven and see, according to verse 4, to see and to hear things which Paul said were just absolutely unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Now, I don't know what he heard up there. I don't know if he's making a reference here to the angels in heaven. I don't know if he's making a reference to the cherubim that are around the throne and crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." I don't know what he's making a reference to. But whatever it was that he saw up there, he said that that when he came back to the earth, that the Lord sent him a thorn. Now, what was that thorn? I don't know, and he does not tell us. In the book of Galatians, he does say, "See how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand." And so some folks think that his thorn was his eyesight, that he had to be led around, and that's what Josephus said about him when he wrote about having seen Paul, and he said that he was this little short guy who was all hunched over from all the beatings and all the just absolutely unbelievable thrashings that he was given for his stand for Christ. And I don't know what his thorn was, but it could have been you know, he had difficulty walking, that he had maybe all kinds of back issues or neck issues as a result of all he had to go through for standing up for the Lord. So after this huge spiritual victory where the devil thought, "I got him," all right? He roused up those Jews, and they stoned him to death. And then after the devil thought, "I got him," here he is now, God sends him back. And so he would not get, you know, just full of gloating and pride. He was given a messenger of Satan to buffet him. So a devil was sent to keep him humbled, a messenger of Satan who came to keep him from trusting in himself and in his own strength. So how do we stand? Well, we stand in the Lord's strength, not ours. And boy, what an example is the Apostle Paul. He had no strength, all right? He had no strength. It was beaten out of him through his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So that leads me now to where we left off last week, and that is the second thought that that comes to mind here. So let's look back at Ephesians 6 for just a moment. And the second thing that I want you to think about is that so far as the power and the strength, well, it's all good. It's all good, all right? But you have to have the armor. You got to have the armor. And that's what I want to dwell on now for the next several weeks probably. But this is the lesson that is brought out by the Apostle Paul here in these verses. Look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, well, you know, we say, I can do that. I can do that. I can be strong in the Lord. I can trust the Lord. I can do that. But wait a minute. Put on the whole armor of God. You see, there the two go together. And if you don't, if you just do one, it's not enough. There's got to be more that we do and in order to stand, and that is we need to put on the whole armor of God. And folks, every believer needs to learn about this armor. Every believer. It doesn't make any difference if you've been saved for a month or you've been saved for 65 years. It doesn't make any difference. We all need to learn to put on this armor. And I think a lot of times what we try to do is we try to fight the spiritual battle, but we do it in our own strength, not with the armor of God on our person, all right? We just do things our way instead of God's way. So while we may be strong, we are never beyond the reaches of the devil. Never beyond his reach. And he watches everything. He is not omniscient and omnipresent like God is, but he has all these principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, and he knows what's going on, and they all work in cahoots one with another. And so we need to understand that we may be strong, but we're never beyond the devil's reaches. Peter said it this way, said, as a roaring lion. All right, as a roaring lion. That old devil walks about seeking whom he may devour. And folks, make no mistake about it. Every service, every time we're in this building, there is some demon or some devil beyond our purview, and he's walking up and down the aisles of this church seeking whom he may devour. He knows his victims. He knows exactly what our weaknesses are. He knows exactly what it takes to trip us up. He knows exactly where to attack and how to hit us. He knows. And so we might have grown greatly, amazingly in the Lord's goodness and in the Lord's grace. We might have won some huge and tremendous victories in our Christian life. But we can never assume that we are beyond the reach of this terrible enemy that we have. The enemy is forever fighting with us, and he never admits defeat. He's always watching. He's always waiting for our unguarded moments. He knows every crack and crevice where he might get at us. He never relaxes. He never takes a vacation. He never goes to the beach and just relaxes and takes it easy. No, he commands great powers at his disposal. And make no mistake about it, he is constantly after you and constantly after me. You see, Satan is our real enemy. And he's not omnipresent. God is, but Satan's not. But he has a vast network of emissaries who are always at attention, watching for even a moment of weakness where we can be attacked by them. Just one small minute of slackness, and the devil comes at us. Wherefore, Paul says, take unto you the whole armor of God. In other words, put it on and keep it on. All right? Put it on and keep it on. Our enemy is not only powerful, but he is also subtle. And Satan would have us think we're all that, you know, we're all strong and powerful. Well, you know, I'm a deacon. Well, la-ti-da. Well, I'm an assistant pastor. Yeah. And you're just like all the rest of us. And we're all subject to the devil's battle. And he's not going to let up on you. Satan would have us think we're all that. No, we're not all that. All right? He would have us think that with our strength or with our might or with our brawn that we are certainly enough. However, we are not enough and never will be in our own selves. And this is why the emphasis is to put on. All right? So that means you consciously have to put on the armor of God. It's not something that you're just walking through life and somebody comes and drapes it over your torso while you're walking through life. Somebody, there's a trap up here. I don't want you to get so here. Put on the arm. No, we have to put it on. It's us that has to put it on. So put on. Why? So we can withstand in the evil day. So we are strong. That's offense. All right? But we have to put the armor on, which is defense. So we've got to fight back, folks. We got to fight back. And even in the armor, notice that all of the armor is for the front. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah, it's all for the front. You say, well, what's the point of that? Here's the point of that. You're always moving forward. All right? You're taking ground. You're not yielding ground. You're taking ground. You've got the armor on. Your enemy's out there. You're marching towards him. We tell the offense in soccer to when they get the ball to go at somebody. All right, you go at somebody. If you just stand there, they're going to wipe you out. But if you get the ball and you turn and you go at someone, then you got an opportunity to do something. But you can't just stand there. You'll get mowed over. All right? That's just how the game is played. And it's the same way in the Christian life. So this is showing us that we are forever to be moving forward. There is nothing in the armor that is designed to protect the back. It's all front, moving forward. So we have this exhortation to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and then the admonition to put on the whole armor of God, and then it's repeated in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. To stand. You see, folks, We have strength, but we are able to stand because we have strength. But then we got to move. And that's where the armor comes in. Put on the whole armor of God so you can withstand. In other words, as you're marching forward, you're conquering. You're not being conquered. You're marching forward, and you are the victor, not the victim. And boy, we are a victim society today, aren't we? Everybody's a victim today. But please understand, folks, this is a constant, constant daily activity. All right, now, so what do we have so far? Well, we have a devil, and then we have an admonition. Put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. All right, so we got verse 11, and the admonition is to put on. And then in verse 13, Paul tells us, take unto you, take unto yourself, all right? Take unto yourself. So we're to put on, and then we're to take unto ourselves the whole armor of God. One author that I was reading as he was commenting on this passage right here, he said that there is a lot of repetition in these verses. And then he went on to say, but repetition is the best way to learn. And that's true, isn't it? Yeah. Repetition is a wonderful way to learn something. I'm finding that if I don't write something down, by the time I turn around, it's gone, you know? And I will say something, and then I'll think to myself, now I need to remember that. I need to write that down. And then I forget to write it down. And since I forgot to write it down, I don't remember what I said. Or somebody will say something to me, and I say, man, that's good. I need to write that down. But if I don't write it down, it's gone. It's gone. So yes, there is a lot of repetition, but notice what's being repeated, all right? Here's what's being repeated. Look at your Bible. Here's what's being repeated. Be strong. Put on, all right? Take unto you. Stand. Stand therefore. Withstand the wiles of the devil, the evil day. And then again, stand. That's what's being repeated. It's said, then it's re-said, and then it's re-said. It's repetition. It's the same thing. But he's just saying it over and over and over and over to make sure that we get it, all right? So stand. Now, let me point out just a couple of obvious things before we run out of time here tonight. Let me point out something I think is right there, but this is what we seem to miss. All right, let's get to the heart of that 13th verse. Look at that 13th verse once again. And in this 13th verse, we read, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, as I have read and reread and then measured every word in this section of Ephesians, I am literally stricken by the great effort that Paul goes to make sure that we all understand that in this fight, it is our responsibility to actually do the fighting. All right? And I think a lot of Christians think, well, I'm just going to sit back and, you know, God's going to take care of this. You got to fight. You got to fight. You got to put the armor on, and you have to stand. And you have to put the armor on. And you have to be strong. And you have to take unto you. And you have to withstand. And you have to realize in this evil day, it's not going to get any easier before the Lord comes back. John said in Revelation, he said, "The devil knoweth that he hath but a short time." And that's why he's so busy. He knows that he has but a short time. You see, the devil can read the Bible. He knows the Bible better than any of us. He knows it better than any of us. And so he knows that his time is running out. Notice in verse 12, Paul said, "We wrestle." And this is not written as groupthink, but it is written to the individual believer. And so it hit me that we are responsible as an individual to actually do the fighting. You see, folks, if this were something that was done for us, then we would not need the armor, would we? If this was done for us, you say, well, why doesn't the Lord do it for us? He wants you to put on the armor. Because in putting on the armor, what you're doing, and I'm going to show you this as we go along, what you and I are doing when we put on the armor is getting closer to Him. Yeah. All right, look at verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." Man, truth is important, isn't it? The world's full of untruth. But right here is truth. And that's, folks, this is why I've always made such a fuss about reading the Bible. Read your Bible. Learn your Bible. Know your Bible. Because this is what truth is. All right, so that stand therefore. How? Your loins girt about with truth. Now, folks, these are pictures that Paul is putting in our minds. All right, they're just having your loins girt about. You know, we see a soldier strapping on, armor down here around his legs. All right, that's truth. That's the key. Not the your loins girt. All right, that's just to show you. This is personal. This is what you are to do. You are to put truth around you, your legs. All right? He goes on. Look at what he says next. He said, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is figurative. It's just figurative in its language. What we are to put on across our heart is righteousness. Righteousness. Does that make sense? All right, look at the next one. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He's not talking about shoes. He's not talking about boots, metal boots, you know, so nobody come up and stomp your toes. Not talking about that. He's talking about you using your feet to walk in the Lord's path and taking the gospel with you as you go. You see, it's the gospel. It's the truth of the gospel that we are to take. The preparation of the gospel of peace. There is no peace today except for in the heart of a believer. All right? And then the shield of faith. Above all, he said, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And we're going, there's some neat stuff about those, about that we'll get to. Probably about 4 years, but. And then verse 17, the helmet of salvation. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So what do all these pieces of armor do? They get us close to the Lord. They bond us with the Lord. We are moving. We're strong. We're in the power of His might. Amen. But we're armored. And we're moving forward. And we're winning. Does that make sense? I don't know about you folks, but I tell you, I'm so tired of the devil knocking us down and then standing over top of us with his heel in our throat, not letting us up. You know, you'll see on Sunday, I for years, you know, where's so-and-so been? Where's so-and-so? Because everybody has an assigned seat. And I know when you're not in your seat. All right? Yeah. Except you. You float. You float. Yeah. And Larry Stainer used to sit right there. And I would look over at Larry and I would say, where's so-and-so? He said, you know, this is the second Sunday they haven't been here. Danger. Danger. There's an old devil out there with a bunch of fiery darts, and he's getting ready to let you have it. And I'm so tired of him winning. How about we win for a change? He said, well, how to do that? Put on the whole armor of God. That's how you do it. We wouldn't need armor if the battle was already fought. We could just be able to sit back and watch and then reap the fruits and benefits of the victory. But the very fact that we are told to clothe ourselves in the armor and that we are told to put each piece on and then we are told how to use each piece, it shows us that each and every one of us is engaged in this battle. And that means that I, as an individual, have the responsibility to fight the fight. All right, we'll stop right there. I might come back next Wednesday just to keep going through this. I don't know. Thursday, thank you. Yep. Everybody's praying now that I'm going to catch a bunch of salmon, aren't you? I hope I do. All right, you see the point, folks? Oh, there's so much more. Keep reading this. Read it till you memorize it, would you? All right, Father, thank you for your word. I pray you'll bless this to our hearts tonight. And Father, we're in a battle. And the sad part is most Christians don't even realize they're in a battle. And so I pray that you will help us to understand the conflict and help us to learn that we cannot fight a spiritual battle without spiritual weapons. So, Father, help us to be strong, but also, Father, help us to put on the whole armor of God. Take unto us the whole armor so that we can stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So, Father, bless what's been said tonight. Instruct us, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.